Lecture 2, The Ideology of Disobedience.
In our last lecture, we talked about absolutism, the political theory that monarchs have all of the authority and their subjects have to listen to them. In this lecture, I'd like to talk about constitutionalism and its intellectual underpinnings. The place to start, obviously, is where does it come from? Where do the radical political ideas of the early modern period come from? And the simple answer is they come mostly from the later Middle Ages. An awful lot of radical ideas have been thought out, especially during the 15th century, from a number of key sources, the most important of which is something called the conciliar movement. Due to rivalries inside the College of Cardinals, in 1378, Europe saw the election of two rival popes, and actually after 1409, there were three. And each of these popes demanded to be recognized as the only legal, rightful occupant of the throne of St. Peter and commanded all of Christendom to listen to him. It was embarrassing for Europe, and it also, more practically speaking, soon became obvious that the only way to end this schism, as it was called, this split inside the church, was to summon a general council of the church, some kind of quasi-legislative body composed of the important bishops and prelates of monasteries and things like this, and to insist that this general council had the capacity to judge, and if need be, to remove these rival popes. And so from this idea of a general council, we get the idea of conciliarism, that is to say, the principle that in the church, in the Catholic Church, ultimately supremacy, legal supremacy, resides with this council as opposed to the pope. Now, as it actually happened, in the year 1414, a council was convened in Konstanz, in central Europe, in what is now Germany, and this council proclaimed its authority to be greater than any of the rival popes. The council, which was actually rather efficient, proceeded to depose two of the rival claimants. It persuaded the third rival claimant to abdicate, and in place of these three, it elected Pope Martin V in their place. Incidentally, the council also burned a couple of heretics for good measure, showing that it wasn't to be messed with. Now, the years around the Council of Constance in the very early 15th century saw an awful lot of theorizing about the idea of the church as some kind of a constitutional monarchy. And what's important for our purpose is that these theories about the church and its constitutional status were seen to be a subset of general theories about all political society. So there was a sense in which people who were theorizing about conciliarism and constitutionalism in connection therewith were also thinking in broader terms about all political communities in general. The most influential of all of these theorists, of all conciliar theorists, was a man by the name of Jean Gerson, who lived between 1363 and 1429. He was the chancellor of the University of Paris after the year 1395, and he wrote a very important treatise called On Ecclesiastical Power in the year 1417. In this treatise, and in his other writings as well, Gerson premised that all political societies must, in a sense, by definition, be autonomous corporations. That is to say, all political societies had to have the full authority to regulate their own affairs without external interference. There was almost a sense of an analogy between the political society and the human body itself. Just as the body regulates its own internal affairs most of the time, so do most political societies. Now, this characterization of all political societies as autonomous, self-governing corporations moved Gerson to suggest two radical contributions about the state itself. First of all, he argued that any secular government whatsoever had to be independent of any other form of jurisdiction. Here we have that same analogy, that political corporations have to be independent of other jurisdictions, including, and this is actually quite striking given that the man was an ecclesiastic, including the alleged jurisdiction of the church. Second of all, Gerson argued, in all secular commonwealths, the highest lawmaking authority, as in the church, had to be some kind of representative assembly of the citizenry or the political nation. In other words, no ruler can ever be greater in power than the community over which he rules.